What's up, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase. Tonight, the first unofficial depth chart is in. Plus, the Rams make some secondary moves. And later, preseason has arrived. We preview Chargers at Rams. Next on Rams Showcase.
Welcome to Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio.
What's going on, Rams fans, and welcome back to Rams Showcase right here on Sports War Radio. I'm your host, Joe Brandon, but you can and should call me Sheriff Joe Beggs. I am laying down the law for you guys tonight. We did it, guys. We made it through the offseason. We are officially doing game previews now. We did it. I can't wait. I'm over the top. I got 2 days till I fly out to LA. I'm losing my mind over here. By the time you guys see this, I'll probably leave tomorrow, which... Oh man, I can't even contain myself a little bit. I don't even think I was like wanting to really put it out there that I was going to this first game, but I'm too excited. I can't help but talk about it. So we will absolutely preview that game that we have coming up on Saturday against the LA Chargers. Visiting SoFi, I guess you could say. And also we got some transactions to talk about. Some good stuff. And like I said, first unofficial depth chart. That sucker's in, man. And there's definitely some surprises, all right? So this depth chart came out. I was a little bit, I don't want to say I was like blown away by it or anything, because this is the first one as well. It's not the exact thing that we'll see going into week one, Sunday Night Football, SoFi Stadium against the Chicago Bears. That's not 100% what we're going to see. I'm sure there'll be some alterations somewhere. I don't know what's going to happen as far as injuries go, that we could see something there. I'm not pulling for injuries or anything like that, but it is a very violent sport that we're watching unfold here. So injuries do happen, unfortunately. Luckily, we don't see any of our starters in preseason. That's going to continue. And I think that people are still surprised by that. Like, I got comments about people coming to me and being like, what, they're not going to play Stafford in preseason? No, why would they? That's ridiculous, you know? So, of course, we're not going to see these guys in preseason, the bulk of them. I do anticipate, however, I know that it's normal that we don't see starters in preseason, but there are a couple of battles that we have going on where I do think we could see those guys. So, let's go ahead and talk about this. The first unofficial depth chart released by the LA Rams, I believe it was on Tuesday that this came out. So I, of course, looked at it. It changed already since the first time I saw it. But I of course, looked at it right away, and there was a couple of things that popped out to me that kind of was like, they saw me, and they were like, hey, Joe, this is weird. You should talk about this. And so that's what we're going to do. So my surprises here, just a couple of them. There's nothing too crazy. Most of it was pretty straightforward, pretty much what we expected. But there are a couple of moves. One of these moves, actually, this first one that we'll talk about, it's not necessarily a surprise based on Sean McVay's comments. So that's with the center position listing Brian Allen as the starter. And Brian Allen, if you guys have been with me all offseason here, if not, then welcome in. If you have, then you're the champion. But Brian Allen's kind of been penciled in as one of my cuts, and I don't think that's the case anymore. I'm removing him from my cut list. Based on him, being listed as the starter at this point, and also Sean McVay's comments. He's being very positive about Brian Allen, so that should make us positive about Brian Allen. I know that some people kind of get their own mindset on certain players, and then the second the team strays away from that, or the second the team wants to play that guy that maybe the fans aren't too high on, that everybody's like, oh, what are they doing? They're making a terrible decision. Well, these coaches are the ones seeing them every single day in practice. We are not. They're in the film room with these guys. We are not. So I trust their decisions. If Sean McVay's saying that Brian Allen's impressing, that he's doing an awesome job, and he's so far removed now from that injury that it's no longer an issue, then hey, let's go Brian Allen, man, all right? And that also has Corbett, because we've kind of been expecting Austin Corbett to be the center this year. Kind of that's been the whole trend the whole offseason, but looks like now he's kind of slotted in at that right guard spot where he played last year, which he did a fine job at. I have no issues with that lineup. So basically what we're looking at right now is Andrew Whitworth at left tackle, David Edwards at left guard, not Joseph Nopum, who started last year at that left guard spot, Brian Allen at center, and then you have Austin Corbett at right guard, and then Rob Havenstein at that right tackle position. That is right now what we have penciled in as the Rams offensive line. All right. That is, of course, subject to change. We're going to still have some practices coming up here. Of course, training camp just wrapped up, but we still have practices going on. We got a joint practice coming up with the Raiders before that game happens, the second preseason game. But that was definitely something that jumped out to me, is that not only is Brian Allen getting some reps at center, but he's right now kind of just listed as the starter. And so I think that's a big shift from what the storylines have been throughout the offseason. The next one here is the linebackers. We got a couple of linebackers listed as starters that kind of surprised me a little bit. And those two names are Justin Hollins and Kenny Young. I like both of these guys. I'm high on both of these guys. If you've been watching the press conferences like I do religiously, I watch all of them. But if you watch those, you'll notice that Sean McVay has been talking up Justin Hollins quite a bit. So that move, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but I was really anticipating that would be either Obanaya Okoronkwo or that it would be Terrell Lewis in that slot. But looks like Justin Hollins is, at least for right now, on official depth chart, is getting the nod. And then Kenny Young, who I've been kind of backing this whole offseason, saying like, no, this is kind of my guy. Like, I think he progressed so well in the 2020 season. And then, you know, going into this offseason where we actually get a training camp and all that stuff, I'm really excited to see what Kenny Young can do. So for myself, I'm not necessarily surprised to see him being, you know, hyped up or I guess acknowledged by the coaching staff. But to see him listed as a starter over Micah Kizer was a little bit of a surprise to me. I do think, though, that does make sense. I do think that if you look at their body of work and what each of these guys have been able to do, Kenny Young and Micah Kizer, it does make sense that Kenny Young's kind of pulling ahead of Micah Kizer a little bit. So that makes sense there. But, you know, Kenny Young and Troy Reader are listed as the starting inside linebackers right now. So very, very different feel and look to the inside linebacker group than we had last year. So same guys, just a lot of shifting going on there. Because I believe last year, I mean, it was Kizer for sure. He was like the main guy last year. And then, of course, Kenny Young, Troy Reader were kind of rotating. And then also, I mean, don't sleep on Traven Howard, who I think that if he can get in some good playing time, especially in preseason against a live opponent, not necessarily just our guys, with actual tackling, not just the thuds and stuff like that, then I think that we could see him work his way into a more rotation as well. At the safety position, we've got Taylor Rapp starting over Terrell Burgess, and this is something that does surprise me a little bit, just based on how they both have been playing, not only through training camp and what we've seen in training camp, but also last year. We saw in the 2020 season that Taylor Rapp was the starter at that free safety spot, and then Terrell Burgess he was taking reps away from him. Taylor Rapp was getting put on the sidelines when Burgess was out there, you know, making plays and stuff. And he did an awesome job as a rookie. And then, of course, did suffer that injury, unfortunately. And that's when Taylor Rapp started getting more involved. So I'm pulling for Taylor Rapp. I hope that he does well. I hope whoever starts plays well. I think that Terrell Burgess is a better player than Taylor Rapp. So I do think that something that we saw last year will kind of happen again this year, which is Taylor Rapp maybe starting that position. But Terrell Burgess, I think, is just a better player, and I think eventually will overtake Taylor Rapp. But that one did surprise me a little bit. And I'm also not convinced that Taylor Rapp will not be starting in the preseason, simply because that's one of those positions I was just kind of referring to earlier, that the Rams don't play their starters in preseason, but Taylor Rapp is kind of a guy who's kind of fighting for his position a little bit. And if he doesn't play, that tells us the coach's confidence level in him, but I'm not sure that they're there yet. So I guess on Saturday, we will really see who is really confident, or who the coaching staff is really confident has solidified their place on that depth chart as far as being at the top. At cornerback, this one is not necessarily that big of a deal, but I thought it was a little bit interesting that Jalen Ramsey listed as right cornerback and Darius Williams listed as left cornerback. That's just a little flip-flopped from last year, but again, unofficial, just looks a little bit interesting. Based on the comments from Sean McVay as well from a different press conference, it kind of sounds like we're going to try to use Ramsey in a way that forces the quarterback that when they're lining up, you have to find him. You're not just going to know that he's over on this side. You're going to have to locate Jalen Ramsey and then adjust accordingly. So is he always going to shadow number one guy? I don't think so. I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the case, but I think in those big important situations, you know, that when we have those absolute monster wide receivers, when we're going against the Bucks with Mike Evans, when we're going against the Packers with Devontae Adams, when we're going against the Seahawks with DK Metcalf, and the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins, I think that it would be beneficial to have one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL kind of just shadowing those guys and taking them out of the game completely. But hey, that's just one guy's opinion over here. And then also we have Cooper Kupp at punt return and Raymond Calais at kick return. Really figured we'd see Tutu slotted in one of those spots there. I'm not necessarily surprised that we're not seeing DeSean Jackson there, but I also, I think that it's possible that we see Jackson in some possible situation. Maybe it's a fourth quarter punt, 5 minutes to go, something like that, maybe less than that, maybe 3 minutes to go. We're forcing the opponent to punt, and they're at, say, the 40, their own 40, so we're going to have a long field. Maybe that's when we put out DeSean Jackson and see if something can happen, see if something can be created, because we know what that guy can do, especially in the clutch. One of the plays that always sticks out to me when I think of DeSean Jackson is that punt against the Giants. I just remember so much about that. I remember watching it live. I remember he kind of drops it, and it's like, oh, man, what are you doing? And then he just goes, you know, like he kind of shifts for a little bit, sees that hole, and he is gone. And I think the part of that entire play that sticks out to me the most, honestly, is Tom Coughlin's face. he's so angry. He's like, he kind of got that patented red face all the time. But I just remember that one so specifically. He's just looking at the punter like, why would you do that? Like, I'm pretty sure they told him not to punt to DeSean Jackson based on the coach's reaction to that. So we'll see. But yeah, Cooper Kupp at punt returner. I don't love this, but I also don't hate it. I like Cooper Kupp. I think he's an awesome player. I really think that he's kind of primed to have his best season so far, and he looks like he's getting that connection with Matthew Stafford real well. He looks incredible in camp. We're getting sick toe taps every single day on the sidelines and stuff. So I don't love Cooper Kupp at punt return, but that's not because I don't like his talents. It's because I like him on offense, and I would like him to be mainly ready for offense. But Raymond Calais at kick return, don't hate that as well. We will talk more about that position group here in a little bit, though. Let's take a look at the rest of the NFC West here. We just got a couple of other games. This is the rest of the West will be coming back. If you guys want more information on these games that we will talk about here, just a quick little preview here, then make sure you guys check out the NFC West Roundtable that this week was on the CG Ruthless Sports channel. I'll go ahead and link it below so that you guys, wherever you're watching me or listening to me, if you can hear my voice, check that description and you'll be able to find that. But it is on the CG Ruthless Sports channel this week. It might be on Ram Showcase next week, but that's every single Tuesday night. I'm going to talk to them about a time shift just to push it just a touch later. But that's every single Tuesday night. We're all talking NFC West football. So the best division in probably sports. Our weakest team in this division is the Arizona Cardinals. Looks like they could probably push above 500. So it's been awesome. These guys are great. It's not super like picky about if we have question is like who's the best quarterback. It's not that everybody just says their own player. So great group of guys. Check that out for sure. I'll link it in the description below. But for the rest of the NFC West teams this week, we do have the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Arizona Cardinals. That game will be on Friday at 7 o'clock. That game will be on NFL Network, so you guys can all check that out if you got NFL Network. Also, all of these games are on the DAZN Network, so if you guys have that, you guys can check these out. The next one here, the Kansas City Chiefs are at the San Francisco 49ers. That game is on Saturday at 5:30. And then the Seattle Seahawks are taking on the Las Vegas Raiders in Vegas. And that game will be on Saturday at 6 o'clock. But of course, the Rams do play on Saturday. So, I mean, I don't think you guys really want to stick on those games when the Rams will be on NFL Network and taking on the Chargers, which is basically a home game for both teams. I don't know. I've seen a lot of comments about it. I've seen a lot of Rams fans be like, oh, they better pay their rent. Quick trivia question for you guys. I'll just give you the answer. But do you guys know what the Chargers pay the Rams in rent to play at SoFi Stadium? It's $1, okay? I'm pretty sure Dean Spanos can come up with four quarters. So, I mean, the pay the rent comments, because of the price, I think it makes us look a little bit ridiculous when fans are like, pay the rent. It's $1, guys. It's fine. I don't know. I guess I'm also on the other side of it. They're just, in my mind, they're just roommates. They're not invading our space. We're blatantly LA's team. I don't see why it's a problem. We're way above them as far as like the LA-ness and stuff. Like, I don't know. I think it's pretty clear. We belong there more than they do. So I think the comments are over the top. If we, I don't know. Most people hate that I kind of have that mindset that I don't hate the Chargers just because they exist where we exist sometimes. So let's get into some transactions. We got a couple of them to talk about here. The Rams did waive cornerback Diane Gonwalukwu-Lake. And this is a guy that I was super excited to see in preseason, but now he is officially gone. No longer here on the Rams roster. Safety Javon Grant was also waived, as well as punter Brandon Wright. So we do have, we are now down to two punters. It is kind of being stated that this is technically a punter battle, although I don't anticipate that Johnny Hecker would lose this battle to Corey Bohorquez, who happens, he was the Bills punter, and I honestly, he's really good. So, I mean, whoever wins this job, I mean, we all love Johnny Hecker. We all got to like the whole, the what the heck and all that stuff. It's awesome. But hey, man, if Corey comes in, if Bohorquez just comes in and is absolutely just dominating, then I don't think there's any reason to not, especially when you got Johnny Hecker, who is the highest paid punter in the NFL. If somebody's going to perform better for less money, I think you make that move. That's just a business move at that point. It would be a super unfortunate, though, because Johnny is the man. All right. We all love Johnny. Johnny's super cool. I've met him a few times. Every single time he's been absolutely just a great dude, super down to earth and all that stuff, you know, super cool. But the Rams, with those openings, the Rams did sign cornerback Donovan Olumba, and they did claim off waivers cornerback Tyler Hall off of waivers. I believe that was, yes, the Falcons off waivers there. So those are your moves, but let's learn these new guys a little bit. We got Donovan Olumba coming in. He stands at 6 foot two, 205 pounds. He is 25 years old. He's got long arms. He can play big. He's kind of that big body guy. He plays the ball really well. From what I've seen from him, I mean, he did have that pick six, but it was really a bad throw. It was a pick six in preseason for the Dallas Cowboys. It was just a bad throw. And then he did have a couple of PBUs, pass breakups, against the Rams. I want to say that the Wolf, Au, was the quarterback for those plays. But there was an article that was posted about Olumba that that included those clips in, as far as like they were tweets that were embedded. So you guys can go check that out there as well. But yeah, he plays real big, got those long arms, man. I think that he's kind of built like Jalen Ramsey a little bit, but he's got the long hair. He's got the dreads. So long arms, long hair. And I really think that this guy's a one to watch for sure. But he has spent some time on the Cowboys practice squad. He spent time on the Browns practice squad. Most recently, though, he did sign with the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL. And that deal was signed on June 10th. Of course, the Tiger Cats, you guys might know, Johnny Manziel played for them. He's kind of, I like Johnny Manziel because I'm a Texas A&M fan. He was absolutely a bust. I'm not trying to say that he did a good job or anything in the NFL, because he blatantly did not. But for what he did at Texas A&M, man, I'll always be a big fan of Johnny for sure. But Olumba played for the Tiger Cats, not with Johnny, of course. And then, yeah, like I said, he's definitely a player to watch. I mean, the Rams moved Lake, who was here last year on our practice squad, so he knows what we're about. He knows these players. He's been around. But the Rams were willing to just to move on from Lake to get Olumba. So that should be a positive sign that the Rams saw that Olumba was an option and jumped on it. That's always a good sign. Next one here, Tyler Hall, who was waived by the Atlanta Falcons. He stands at 5'10", 195. He is just 22 years old. He's bounced between the active roster and the practice squad a few times last year. He played in week 3 and 5. He has tallied 6 total tackles. Nothing too crazy. It was after each game, because it was the Bears game. I don't remember the other opponent, but it was after each game that he was actually bumped back down to the practice squad. So he was like right there teetering as far as like an active roster player, but just wasn't able to do it. He did sign an extension in March with the Falcons, and then was released on Monday, or waived on Monday, and then the Rams claimed him on waivers. I did check the waiver wire again. I did not see anything else come through, but you know what? I think we'll go ahead and hop into our break. We've got our first game preview of the 2021 NFL season right here on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in, Rams fans. Make sure you guys check the description below, wherever you're listening to me, to check out Shaw's Customs and get some sweet stuff there. As always, we got the mug here. We got the shot glass here. Those are used. They are just put back. And I'm also rocking my Shaw's Customs Ram Showcase shirt. Got Sheriff Joe Bags number 9 on the back of this. So make sure you guys, I'm pretty sure we can do t-shirts now. And then we also got the decals. I do have a stack of them that are ready to be sent out. And then I've also got some that are about to be sent out. Got them enveloped. And those will be in the mail soon here. But you guys might, if you guys have been with me for a little bit here on Ram Showcase for the last couple years, you guys might know that last year I started talking about that I was getting into gambling, all right? Gambling opened up in Colorado, and I was here for it. So, got some great news for you guys, though. Sports betting season is now back in full force. The NHL and NBA season, of course, those just wrapped up, but they will be back. But we are still in MLB, and now we got NFL season coming up. So, we got preseason coming up. And did you know you can gamble on preseason games? And it's way cooler than you think, because it's really kind of a toss-up. You don't know what's going to happen, and that makes it a little bit more exciting. But you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost 3 decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com. They have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code RAMSSHOWCASE. They also have re-up and referral bonuses also, but BetUS is known as is America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons, all right? BetUS has your NBA, NHL games, of course, MLB, NFL coming up here especially, with the team and player props and loads of NFL futures and NFL odds up already. So if you want to put some money on the Rams winning the Super Bowl, like you know what's about to happen at SoFi this year, BetUS is where you need to go. We could also do, you got golf. You got PGA and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. So live as it's happening, you can go in and put those bets in. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. You might have to check that one out. I haven't done horse betting yet. That might be fun. They also have every bet type imaginable. And the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead. Get your phone online and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. Make sure you guys check that out for sure. So Ram Showcase, you can use that code to get the 125% sign-up bonus. If you deposit $100, you get $125 extra. And you can use Ram Showcase 200. These are for crypto deposits only, though. That's a 200% crypto sign-up bonus. So if you guys are rocking the crypto, that's the route you might want to go ahead and take. So if you deposit $100 in crypto, and then you get $200 extra there. So, of course, links will be provided in the description below. But guys, like I said, I started doing the gambling stuff last year, and I absolutely love it. And so, BetUS, make sure you guys check it out, and let's go get some money, guys. But we got this game preview brought to you by BetUS. We got the first preseason game of the season. It is Chargers at Rams, LA at LA on NFL Network. That is 7 o'clock LA time at SoFi Stadium. This is the first battle of SoFi. The Rams and Chargers playing against each other. 2022 will be the first regular season game between these two. The Chargers, though, will be the home team. And I kind of hate that with my whole heart. I know that I said that, like, the Chargers being there doesn't, like, I don't care about that, but the first time we play each other, we have to be the road team. We got to go out in our own venue, and it's just going to be loaded up with powder blue. No. All right. I mean, it has to happen. So yes, but that one kind of hurts my feelings just a little bit. The Chargers are favored by 3.5 points, the over under 34. Yes, you can gamble on preseason games, and it's way cooler. All right. Way cooler, because there's no strategy to it at all. You never know what's going to happen, which is cool, but over under 34. So they don't anticipate a lot happening here. Let's get into some game notes. Rams quarterback John Wolford will not play. The Wolf, will not be playing in this game. And actually, we heard from Sean McVay on Tuesday that the Wolf, will not be playing in any preseason games. So we will get a heavy dose of Bryce Perkins and Duck Hodges. Quack, quack, and but only one of those guys is playing. We don't have any animal noises for Stafford or for Perkins, but hey, 50% is not too bad. But we will, like I said, get a heavy dose of Bryce Perkins and Duck Hodges. Not sure who's going to start, not sure what that rotation is going to look like. But, you know, we'll see both of those guys. Darrell Henderson will not play in the preseason as well, all but confirming that he is the guy for the 2021 season for the LA Rams at the running back spot. Sebastian Joseph Day suffered a minor ankle injury, likely will not play as he is listed as a starter, but he is also expected to be fine. That's not expected to be a major injury, anything like that. There has been a couple of bumps and bruises here and there. Darrell Henderson hurt his hand, but he came back. Sebastian Joseph Day, he gets an ankle, but he looks to be fine. So we're looking good still there on the injury front, except for, of course, Cam Akers, but we don't need to talk about that every single week. But the Rams do list Taylor Rapp as a starter. With how last season went with Burgess, I think it's very real that we see Rapp play in preseason, and then we see him and Burgess kind of battle that out, because I do think it's a very real possibility that Burgess can be the starter in week one, if that battle kind of plays out. I do believe it is a battle. I don't think that Rapp is just officially the starter and good to go there. I do believe that that is a battle. Brian Allen is listed as the starting center on the unofficial depth chart. McVay has been very positive on Allen, and I hope that we do see him in preseason a little bit, because, of course, you know, training camp is one thing. Going against Aaron Donald is definitely not a bad thing to practice with. But to go against the other guys and against, you know, this week will be the Chargers, who will have an interesting defense, especially with Brandon Staley, former Rams defensive coordinator, going over there. So I think that'll be a little bit of an interesting dynamic to it, because, of course, we know what their defense is. We ran it. So as far as a preseason game, I think that it kind of carries on a little bit with what we've been seeing in training camp. But it will be different players, which makes a huge difference, of course. But I would like to see Brian Allen in preseason, even if it's just a couple of drives. Troy Reader and Kenny Young listed as the starting inside linebackers. We could really see just about every linebacker play. Again, it's one of those things where we don't play starters in preseason, but with the way that these battles are, we're not top-heavy at the linebacker spot, except for Leonard Floyd. I think that Floyd is the only linebacker that we for sure won't see in preseason. But I do think it's very real that we do see the rest of our linebackers in a rotation for the preseason. And there's plenty of them to go around. And at that inside linebacker spot, I'm really excited to see what Traven Howard can do. Of course, we didn't have him last year. And, you know, Micah Kizer being the starter last year, he's going to be coming in off the bench. So will number 59, will he be able to do something and maybe wiggle his way back into that starting lineup over Reader or Kenny Young? I wanted to reiterate this, guys, on my game notes here, is that the score of this game does not matter. I can't emphasize that enough. The score of this game does not matter unless you got money on it. Well, then it does matter a little bit, but that's only for you, you know? As far as wins and losses and dubs, it does not matter at all, all right? Individual matchups matter, all right? Each play is its own thing. Teams usually are trying to put people in specific situations to get good tape. All right, winning the game is really irrelevant, and I'd absolutely argue that getting good tape is far more important than getting a win in preseason. You want to put your guys in situations where you're seeing, you know, somebody, let's use an example of Robert Rochelle. We want to see him in a situation where he's going one-on-one with a corner or with a wide receiver from the Chargers and seeing how he handles that coverage. Even if the ball's not over there, how close is he sticking to his guy? How is he reading the play? The safeties for a guy like Nick Scott, how's he reading the plays? Where is he attacking? It's not necessarily if the ball is coming to him or anything like that or what happens on the play. You're looking for individual guys to do their jobs, all right? And like I said, it's not up to, like, you're not usually trying to string together stuff. You're usually trying to pick a play, evaluate that play, move on, next play. That now is the previous play is irrelevant. In the regular season, especially with Sean McVay and the way that he runs his offense specifically, you try to string together some things. You try to do this, you hit him here, hit him here, hit him here, and then you can hit him here, then you hit him here, then you do a play action. This way, you know, you're trying to set stuff up. That's not necessarily the case in preseason. You're just trying to get good tape. And if we can get good tape, we're doing fine. At the quarterback spot, we'll talk about this here in a second as well, but in the quarterback spot, you're not looking for Bryce Perkins or Duck Hodges to absolutely light it up and make fans say that, oh, hey, this guy should be the starter. Because, hey, that's not going to happen. All right, we know that Matthew Stafford's going to be the number one guy. We know that the Wolf, Awu, is going to be number two. These guys are really probably fighting for who will be a practice squad quarterback. in their own right. That's going to be their battle. They might squeeze their way into the roster. I doubt it, though. I think that the Rams would rather use that roster spot on probably an extra wide receiver rather than a third quarterback, especially when we got a guy like Johnny Hecker, who has, for the last few years, been the emergency quarterback on this roster. So we're not looking for, like, to see, like, a sweet Bryce Perkins to Tristan Jackson connection where they're just vibing together. It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant, all right, because that guy's not going to be our quarterback. We're not looking for that. We'll actually talk about that here in a second, but we're just looking for individual matchups, all right? Let's talk about the 3-2-C. The 3-2-C in this one, we got groupings for this one, actually. Typically, for the regular season, what we do is we kind of highlight specific players, but with the bulk of the starters, if all of them probably, not playing in this game, then we're going to look for position groups. So the first one here in the 3-2-C is going to be the wide receiver group. That's mainly Tutu Atwell, Van Jefferson, Tristan Jackson, J.J. Koski, Jeremiah Hadle. They all figure to get plenty of playing time with the Cooper Kupp, DeSean Jackson, and Robert Woods not getting playing time. I would be very surprised if we saw them in this one. But with our quarterbacks, we're not looking for any kind of rhythm or how they connect. We are looking for individual talent. We are not looking for Duck Hodges to hit Hadle and make splashes that way and develop that connection. What we are looking for is where that ball is thrown, how Hadle adjusts to it. How is he going for the high point? Is he working on the back shoulder? How is his separation from the cornerback? Stuff like that. We're not looking for them to connect with each other necessarily on that mental level. Where's the ball at? That is, of course, kind of important, but hey, how's Van Jefferson playing that ball? How's Tutu playing that ball? Where's Tutu running at? Is he going deep? Is he blowing past everybody? Is he going short and then trying to get that yak yards? You know what I mean? Like the yards after catch, is that what he's trying to do? These are the things that we're looking for here. Tristan Jackson, Van Jefferson, Jeremiah Hadle, these are all people to watch for sure. I'd let it be known on the NFC West roundtable that of all of the rookies that the Rams do have for this draft class, I put Tutu Atwell as the highest bust potential. That's not me saying that I do think he's going to be a bust, but I do think he's got the highest bust potential. He's having a hard time putting on weight. He's already had issues with the COVID protocols and stuff. He was the one that had the issues with the Instagram Live and the jerseys coming out. Those weren't, of course, the official jerseys, but there's already a lot of things happening here with Tutu that is kind of making fans maybe just raising some red flags, I guess, in my own brain and some other fans' brains here, that maybe Tutu, maybe. I'm not saying it's for sure, but that's what we'll find out on Saturday. We'll see what he's doing out there on the field because that's, of course, where it's the most important. The next grouping here that we'll look at is the secondary. Darius Williams and Jalen Ramsey are likely the only two to really sit for this game. David Long Jr., rocking number 22. Dante Dion in 21. Robert Rochelle in 31. Donovan Alumba in 49. Kareem Orr in 46. Bronte Harris in 35. And I didn't have a number for Tyler Hall yet. I didn't see it available yet. But these are all guys going to get plenty of playing time. And watch how they pass off coverage in zones. Like, we're not looking for just interceptions and pick sixes and stuff like that. Watch how they pass off the coverage in zones. Watch how they play the ball. Watch how they're sticking to their man in man-on-man, like man-to-man coverage. We're not looking for to win every play, but if each individual player can win their matchups, then we're looking pretty good. So if a guy like, let's say, Robert Rochelle, if he's just on his dude, then I mean, that even though somebody else gives up a touchdown, that's not necessarily a knock against Rochelle. That's kind of my point here. But watch how they pass off the coverage in zones and how they, like, if somebody's in the flat and they're kind of backing up, staying with a guy and then pass it off, is there a guy that he was supposed to maybe cut off a little bit sooner and coming up and leaving somebody open? That's the kind of stuff that we got to watch for as far as the secondary goes. But it'll be difficult to get into a rhythm, so don't anticipate that. We're looking for individual plays. Make plays. Do a good job on each individual play, but we got a lot of guys we're trying to get tape on, so it's going to be hard to get a rhythm with that rotation going. So watch them specifically, not the play. Not all of these guys will make the team. He who pops probably will. That's usually what you see with the secondary when guys are out there making plays and, you know, breaking on routes. If maybe he's covering this guy, he sees the ball's thrown and he gets over here and makes a defensive play. Like Jalen Ramsey's one interception last year that was thrown to a guy he was not covering. You know, stuff like that is what we're going to want to see. Taylor Rapp is listed ahead of Terrell Burgess right now. I don't think that I expect it to stay that way. I don't even think that Taylor Rapp is a Rams starter enough for him to be in, like, not playing in preseason, if that makes any sense. Like, is he a Rams starter enough to be like, no, you don't play in preseason. We need you week one. So you're out, man. Like, we know you're good. We know you're going to be there week one. So I don't know if he's in that tier yet. Nick Scott is also a player to watch as well. He was brought in by Bones specifically to play special teams. And he was told by Bones, you will not go undrafted. We will take you. And of course the Rams did in the 7th round. But he's also been really working on his craft at the safety spot. And if you guys, by the way, if you guys haven't watched his video that the Rams put out, you can check it out on the Los Angeles Rams YouTube channel. Very cool video about Nick Scott, kind of just his story a little bit. And, you know, to talk about the backyard stuff. It's just pretty cool stuff. But I won't spoil all of it. Go check it out for yourself. Last position group here is going to be the running back group. We know that Daryl Henderson is not playing. He's our top guy this year, and that's not a bad thing. He had one less rushing yard than Cam Akers did last year and 3 more touchdowns than Cam Akers did last year. Not trying to say that Cam Akers is bad. I'm just trying to say that Daryl Henderson is good. Xavier Jones and Jake Funk figure to be the guys that come in for Hendo throughout the season. And it's great to have two of those guys that could come in to kind of be that spell back for Hendo, kind of to come in to spell Henderson when he's getting a little bit tired, and to be able to keep him healthy for now one extra regular season game and what will hopefully be multiple playoff games. But this will allow for a good rotation between these two. Specifically, we're going to want to have these two guys play on where they're coming in and how they're, what situations they're playing in and what, how they're performing in those specific situations. That's what I wanted to say. So, let's see here, catching a screen, like this is just some examples, like catching a screen, how are they, on the zone? Like, how are they reading those blocks and when do they hit that hole? How fast are they hitting that hole? Are they making that cut and they're gone? Or are they making that cut and then kind of shifting a little bit and then kind of getting bottled up? How are they in pass protection? These are all situations that they're going to be in and that are going to be very important to watch. And Raymond Clay and Otis Anderson Jr. are realistically in a battle between each other to make this team. The Rams very well could keep 4 running backs with the Akers injury, and the ability of either of these guys to play on special teams does benefit a lot. But I will mention, with Raymond Clay being officially already listed as the unofficially listed as the kick returner for the Rams, I do think that he would be technically ahead of Otis Anderson Jr., but I do think a real battle is unfolding between these two. Much like the Jones and Funk grouping, watch how these two play in specific situations. Both will probably not see the quarters 1 and 2, which really means two things. Your blocking is worse because you're going with guys that are not necessarily the top tier. And of course, we won't even see starters. So at this point, you're going to be seeing the depth. You're going to be seeing Cameron Meredith. You know, that's not a shot at Cameron Meredith, but he is lower on the depth chart right now. So those are the guys you're going to see blocking for you. But also, you're going to see a weaker defense. You're going to see guys that are not going to be making the roster on the other team defending you. So it's easy for a future monster to really stick out in the second half of preseason games. And that's what we're going to look for between these two, especially myself. That's really what I'm looking for. Raymond Clay and Otis Anderson Jr. Who of these guys pops in the second half? Because like I said, it's easy to pop in the second half when you're an absolute monster. When you're about to be a total stud, it's easy to break some ankles of some linebackers who are they're a couple weeks away from getting cut. You know, even if your blocking is not as good, it's easier to look good in front of inferior opponents, even when your blocking may not be the toppest of the notches. Let's go ahead and get into some fan quesos. We don't have too many for you guys tonight, but we will get them done. Let's see here. I think I read all of these beforehand, so I think I'm actually prepared this time, guys. That's very rare, so usually I like to go in a little fresh sometimes and just have no idea what's happening, but let's see here. We got Fan Quesos. This is sponsored by Shaw's Customs. Again, that link will be in the description below. This shirt is courtesy of Shaw's Customs. It's got Sheriff Joe Beck's number 9 on the back. I'm going to rotate slowly here so you guys can maybe see. We got Sheriff Joe Beck's on the back here, number 9. It's good stuff. I don't know how well you guys could see that, actually, because I was facing away from the camera. That's not normally the way that I look at it. So let's hop into our fan quesos here. First one here comes from Drake. And my microphone is falling down. All right, we're going to go ahead and do this now. All right, so fan quesos. We got first one here comes from Drake. McVay and Goff throwing 60 times a game. Will we see that same kind of offense this year with Stafford? You know what? That's very realistic, man, especially with the Cam Akers injury. You know, Cam Akers was initially looking like a guy who was going to kind of like we were going to get back to running the ball a lot more. And I do think that we will still see a pretty strong running game with Daryl Henderson and the Xavier Jones and Jake Funk rotation. But I do think that we throw a decent chunk here. And Matthew Stafford has shown that he can do that, that he can handle that kind of situation. So, yeah, I do think that we'll see. Like, I think that we'll probably average it like 35 to 40 passes a game from Matthew Stafford. Next one here from Jake. Who do you see being our trap game this year? Example, the Jets game last year, underestimated and got beat. Ooh, man, that is a tough one. You know what, though? I would say that it's very real that a team like the Bears in week one could be that team. I'm trying to think of, I don't know, man. We don't have that many, cake games this year. We do have some tough ones, man, but I'm trying to think of who else we play. Let's see. I mean, Cardinals could be, Sean McVay has not lost to the Cardinals, and that's one that could kind of happen. I would hate to see it, but that's one, but I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I would say maybe the Bears, though, because with their quarterback situation, they've got three quarterbacks who really could be starters, and their defense, they kind of got a feel for Stafford a little bit, but he's got a feel for them, so we'll see how that plays out. Of course, historically under McVay, in only the four seasons that he has coached with us, he's entering his fifth, he's kind of had a little bit of trouble with the Bears. Of course, we were able to beat him last year, though. That's a tough one, though. We're going to try to scroll here. I should just pause and fix this, but we're just going to keep on trucking. This next one here comes from Adrian. Fourth down and goal on the 1 yard line. Which running back do you think would line up behind Stafford? Okay, let's see here. I thought your other question was a continuation. It's not. So, dude, it's going to be Daryl Henderson. If it's fourth down and goal on the 1 yard line, Hendo's a bruiser, bro. Hendo's a bruiser. So, yeah, I think that it'll be Henderson for sure. Funk could maybe wiggle his way into that role a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and stick with Hendo on that. I don't think that's really that difficult of a question, actually. I think it's clearly Henderson on that. All right, so let's see here. And do you think Torrey Big Game Holt will make the Hall of Fame next year? Yes, I do, actually. It's got to be one of the next 2 years, right? It's either next year or the year after. But I feel like he's kind of been getting snubbed a little bit. And in fairness, I mean, you got Megatron going in this year. I think if Megatron would have retired 1 year later that we would have seen Holt in. I think he's been so close. He's been a finalist for, what, 3 years now? 3 or 4 years? He's been right there on the cusp. And eventually they're going to be like, all right, well, it's time to get him in. Like, that's just going to be the way it goes. It's going to be that situation where it's like he's been a finalist a lot of years in a row. We need to get him in. But also, it could be really cool to not only see, because we have Bruce in, we got Warner in, we got Falk, we got Pace. If we can get Holt in next year, and also it's very, very real that the coach candidate next year that gets inducted is Dick Vermeil. I think that that's extremely likely that happens. So Holt and Vermeil could get put into the Hall of Fame at the same time. And then basically, I mean, we've got the greatest show on turf in, man. Like, that's who else would you add from the greatest show on turf offense that would make a lot of sense to put him in? I think that kind of covers it. Well, I know we got some really good offensive linemen in that time, but I think that would pretty much cover it. And then that battle, I saw the post that was like the Colts versus Rams, and the Colts was like Edgerrin James, Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning, one other that I'm blanking on right now. And then it had the Rams with the Bruce, Warner, Falk, and Pace. And it was like, which Hall of Fame squad would you prefer? And it's like, if we get Holt and Vermeil in there, oh, it was Dungy as well for the Colts. But if we got Vermeil and Holt in there, it's like, obviously it's the Rams then. Let's see here. Can you take a moment to remind everyone that these preseason games don't count? Yes, I will, Adrian. Gladly, I will take a moment to say that. Because these games, guys, they do not impact anything, okay? Also, keep in mind, we're not playing our first or second quarterback in either of these games. We're not playing our starting running back. We're not going to see probably our top three wide receivers. Obviously, we're not going to see Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Jordan Fuller. We're not going to see these guys in preseason, guys. It's going to be fine. We're going to be fine, okay? So, yeah, these games don't count. If you guys can tell me a score of any preseason game that the Rams had 2 years ago, I'd be glad to hear it, because it's irrelevant. If you remember that, then you remember pointless stuff, because I've got, this thing's kind of a steel trap. I remember all kinds of stuff with the Rams. Not that, because I don't care about that at all. So yeah, don't matter at all, guys. It's going to be fine. We're going to be fine no matter what happens in these games, all right? Do you remember, guys, that year that the Patriots went undefeated, went into the Super Bowl, of course, losing the Super Bowl to the Giants? They went 0-4 in the preseason that year. Just putting that out there. This next three come from Cody, and then we'll wrap it up here. So, how do you think Tyler Higbee can be with Stafford, or is he pretty average tight end overall? You know, I think he's, like, slightly above average. I think he's a very talented tight end, but he doesn't even have 1,000 career receiving yards yet. So, you know, man, there's a lot of factors in it that I like Higbee. I like his play style and stuff, but he's a little inconsistent as far as production goes. I don't think he's inconsistent as far as his play, but, like, his utilization is sometimes a little bit more sporadic. So I think that's something to consider. And I really do think that at some point within the next 2 years, we're going to see that Jacob Harris, I think, will overtake Higbee in that role. And that's not to say that I don't like Higbee. I do like Higbee. But yeah, I think that he's not a superstar. And I hate to say that about any of my Rams. But yeah, he's not that guy. So he's a very talented guy who can definitely produce when he's called upon. He's just not that much. But hey, Matthew Stafford coming in, maybe that'll change everything. Maybe Higbee goes 1,000 this year. I have no idea, man. But that'd be cool to see. Higbee is a cool dude. Next one here from Cody: can Stafford be a more seasoned quarterback? Can Stafford, being a more seasoned quarterback, help our team develop or get better faster, such as receivers, versus playing with a quarterback such as Jared Goff? You know, that's an interesting question, but I would say, to answer your question, I would say that Stafford has a lot more experience, and he's also got he's played with guys like Danny Amendola, who are, I mean, one of my favorite Rams of all time, honestly. I love Amendola, but I'm a big fan of him. He's also played with Calvin Johnson, you know, so he can maybe give some things about, like, hey, well, this worked well for us. So, yeah, Jared Goff wasn't able to do that. Jared Goff had only played for the Rams, and I'm fresh out of college, obviously. So I don't think that Jared Goff was able to relay as much to the wide receivers about what he wanted them to do. And he's been able to take that to Detroit, where he's taken Amon-Ra St. Brown and teaching him what Cooper Kupp has been doing. So he's able to do it now, but he can't teach Cooper Kupp what Cooper Kupp's doing, because Cooper Kupp already knows what Cooper Kupp's doing, you know? So Matthew Stafford, though, he's played with a lot of guys, a lot of talented guys, and I think that he'll be able to take in that experience and pass it off to our young wide receivers. We do have some young wide receivers here, but DeSean Jackson, I think, helps in that regard a lot as well. That last one here from Cody, and I do want to check my screenshots. I do think I have one in there. What can McVay do to this offense, do with this offense and Stafford, considering there were multiple things defenses could do to confuse Goff, like the strategy teams employed to slow down our offense with the Super Bowl blueprint of the six D linemen on the scrimmage rushing Stafford? Being a veteran, take away enough of those little things that teams can do against us. Make our offense elite once again. Yeah, let's try to unpack that a little bit. So, first of all, the six down lineman defense that was slowing down the Rams did not premiere in the Super Bowl. It premiered against the Bears. I believe that was a Monday Night Football game. They were the first ones to do it to us, and Belichick kind of just took their lead on that one and just employed it against us, because Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they're always able to adjust. They don't necessarily have a scheme. They always will play to what their opponent is worst against, you know? So it wasn't necessarily a Super Bowl thing, but yeah, I think Stafford does bring that a little bit more freestyling, I guess, to the offense, where Jared Goff needed things to happen in a very specific way. And like what Jared Goff needed to happen was the play to work out kind of perfect. Like he needed, if the play was called to look for this guy and then this guy, that's exactly what he was going to do. And if that was taken away, that's when we saw the issues. And I think Matthew Stafford will be able to bring in the ability to kind of just adjust that on the fly a little bit, where I mean, kind of like how I'll use the examples of Jared Goff in overtime against the New Orleans Saints in the NFC Championship game a couple years back, that, you know, they kind of were coming after him and he was able to hit Tyler Higbee on the flat on the right and then on the left. And those were off scheduled plays. And when he was able to do that, he was unstoppable. But the times he was able to do that were not as often as you would like to see. And I think Matthew Stafford is a lot better at that. And I think he's needed to be better at that just with his time in Detroit. So, yeah, I think that I think that the change will be noticeable. I think that Rams fans will see it before the rest of the league as far as the feel of the quarterback position and what it feels like. Because you know what it feels like. I mean, it's hard to explain. If you know, you know. I guess it's kind of hard to put into words, but you know when your quarterback is out there, if it feels good, if it feels like something can happen here, or if they've got like the potential to do something, like all those years watching guys like when Mark Bulger would get hurt and then like Jamie Martin would come in, you'd look at Jamie Martin, you're like, this is not going to go, like there's, it doesn't feel like he's going to make a play, you know, it's just the way it was. And then in that game against the Texans 2005, like Bulger was already out, Jamie Martin was in, and Jamie Martin went out. We were down like 24-3 at halftime or something like that. I believe that was the score. Big comeback by Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that was like, he came in and immediately you were like, oh, this guy can play football. Like he's able to do things. It doesn't need to be perfect for him to make a play. If the defense takes something away, he can find something else. So I think that's a very good thing. My camera did overheat, by the way, guys, and I just fixed my stand. So my camera overheated in this obnoxious heat that we are dealing with here. It was, I think, 97 in Colorado Springs today. That's what my car said, at least. And I'm not here for that, guys. I'm over it, over the heat in a big, big way. Let's see here. Oh, North Dallas 40 from the YouTube channel wants to know who will be the surprise cut. Oh man, I had mine Brian Allen, but he's definitely changed some minds here. I guess he's changed my mind because he's changed McVay's mind. I'm not gonna guess just because I think a player was not as good as some others. That doesn't mean anything. If McVay is high on him and if Brian Allen's doing an awesome job, then he's no longer my pick to be my surprise cut. There's still something about Taylor Rapp that kind of just makes me think that he may not be here. I know he's listed as a starter right now, but if he gets bumped down by Burgess, it's possible. And especially if somebody like Paris Ford at safety can come in and do some things here, then it's possible that we see Taylor Rapp get moved. Maybe get traded. I mean, there's maybe Taylor Rapp gets traded to the Lions or something. I don't know. I don't know what we would want back. The Rams don't really value draft picks that much, so I don't know if that's the course there. But maybe Taylor Rapp gets traded somewhere if Burgess does kind of take over that role a little bit. So I don't know, man. But as far as my surprise cut, that's tough. I don't know if we'll necessarily see too many big surprises. I guess Micah Kizer might be one. I've liked Kizer, but, you know, with him being bumped down, not a starter anymore, Traven Howard's been, according to reports, performing. So, you know, that's a possibility there that Micah Kizer could be one. But, you know, man, I do want to see some games first before I kind of label anybody with that surprise cut. Like it could, maybe Taylor Rapp comes in tomorrow, or on Saturday, and he's just crushing some souls, and maybe I change my tune on him. Maybe some other things happen, man. So I'm trying to think of I don't think any of these wide receivers will see a surprise there. That's a tough one, man, especially right now, right before preseason game. That's tough. We are through training camp though, but yeah, that's a tough one. Ask me that like in two more weeks. After the Raiders game, ask me that again. I'll definitely have a better understanding of who I feel confident in. I watch preseason games usually about three times. I'll be at two of them. So those ones specifically, I need to like set aside time on the following Sunday. And I'll probably watch them twice back to back. That's a very Sheriff Joe Bags thing to do, is watch a preseason game and then start it over and just try to watch for different things, man. Just watch, pay attention to things. Sometimes I'll watch the condensed version after I've seen the full one, but I don't like missing drives, though. They'll say like three drives later, and I hate that. So I just want to watch them all. Let's watch them all. I usually watch regular season games twice, preseason games usually three, just to get a feel for it, man. I like to know this roster. I like to know them up and down. I like to feel good about my opinions on these guys. If I'm going to be talking about Taylor Rapp, I need to feel confident in being able to talk about Taylor Rapp and know what he's done on the field. So I like to be able to do that stuff and have conversations with you guys, because I know some of you guys are hardcore, man. Some of you guys don't play around. So you guys make me like need to pay more attention, because I can't just not know what something's going on. You know what I mean? So you guys motivate me to keep up on my content for sure. But that is going to do it for me. Thank you guys so much for dropping those quesos. Do appreciate you guys. Feel free to drop them. I will throw them on to the next show. And yeah, guys, we got preseason this weekend. We got LA Chargers at the LA Rams, SoFi Stadium. If you guys bump into me, feel free to say what's up. I was kind of keeping it a secret. It's me and my dad going to this game. He is a Chargers fan. Maybe that's why I don't hate them that much. I don't hate any NFL team, though, to be clear. I grew out of my hatred for NFL teams. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you hate teams or whatever. I just kind of don't. I love the NFL. I'm a massive Rams fan, and I will defend the Rams over any of these other nerd teams. But I will. I love the NFL. I'll watch any game for sure. NFL teams playing, I'll watch. It's my favorite. I love football, and the NFL specifically. But make sure you guys drop those quesos. Make sure you guys check out this game on Saturday. It's gonna be some good stuff. I'm not gonna go live for this one. Maybe not for any preseason games, but we will be coming back with the live shows for the pregame. For week one, we'll be doing that. It'll actually be shifting from Facebook to YouTube. So come hang out with me, guys. We just talk some Rams football leading up to the game. We usually just kind of BS a little bit. Sometimes we do giveaways, some good stuff for sure. So if you guys like the giveaways, that's where you're going to want to stay up on. This week, we only got one submission for our Ram Cave. So that person wins. We didn't announce it, but the person wins. We might bring that one back again once the season gets a little bit closer in. We'll be doing giveaways regularly, so keep your eyeballs open, guys. But that is going to do it for me. Make sure you guys follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media. That'd be at Ram Showcase on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Ram Showcase. You can follow myself as well at Sheriff Joe Bags on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Sheriff Joe Bags. Thank you guys so much. I do appreciate you guys. We are here. We did it. We made it through the offseason again. We always do. It's wrong. It's terrible. It's hot. But we did it again. Thank you guys so much for being here. I do appreciate it. That is going to do it for me, though. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you guys so much for listening. And you guys, have a great night.